Then.
Hello, my name is Tobe, and I am the president of the Dubious Goals Committee, right here on and on radio. I just walked by my television and I noticed that there was a football game on, not my kind of football, the American kind, and it was between two teams, one of which was from Toledo, and one of which is from Bowling Green, Kentucky, and I've always thought Bowling Green was one of the greatest names for a town ever, and I've always wondered if they actually have a bowling green there. If they do, I have to put Bowling Green, Kentucky on my list of places to visit. I like to play bool or lawn bowling or whatever you want to call it from whichever culture you are from. This game, I know it as bool. Some of you might know it as bocce. Some of you might know it as lawn bowls. Some of you might know it as pétanque. If you know it as bocce, I will remind you that the name of the game is bocce and not bocce ball. Don't quote me on this, but I'm fairly certain that bocce means ball in Italian, so you're just saying ball, ball. And I'll also remind you that in America, not all sports end in ball, and so we don't. Just because we have baseball and football doesn't mean that all sports have to be something ball. We don't play soccer ball. We don't play hockey ball. We just play soccer. We just play hockey. We don't play tennis ball. We just play tennis. Just because some of these sports have a ball doesn't mean that their name includes that word. It grates on my nerves when people say bocce ball. It's redundant and it just means you're stupid. But if you want the most redundant thing ever, and I've probably mentioned it on this show before, there's a town right next to mine called La Vista. And as you know, La Vista is Spanish for the view. Guess what the name of their newspaper is? It's called The View. And so the entire full name of the newspaper on the masthead, it says The La Vista View, meaning in English, the view view. Whoever came up with that masthead needs to be slapped, or at least elected chairman of the Department of Redundancy Department. In Games of Chance news, my most recent Loteria Don Clemente lottery ticket, numbered 006, is in fact a winner. I won $3 when the watermelon, the musician, the mandolin, and the boot all lined up. Woohoo! $3 richer. I'm feeling vaguely dissatisfied today. I don't know why that is, unless it's due to what I've eaten today, which has only been frozen food. I had frozen waffles for breakfast, and I had some frozen Chinese food for lunch, and I just feel like something is missing, or I don't know, something is incomplete. Maybe I just need to eat something decent. In other decency news, or perhaps I should say lack thereof, I'd like to thank SDF user MJT, sometimes known as Barnacle. That's right, MJT, DJ Barnacle, one and the same. But I'd like to thank him for being the only respondent to the Headlamp Bikini Challenge. And so recently, MJT received the Headlamp Bikini EQSL card. And I hope he got that in the mail recently. So, MJT, if you're listening, if you haven't checked your email recently, please do so now for your very own picture of the Headlamp Bikini. I'd like to take this time to remind all of my listeners that this is, in fact, a interactive show. And as of today, no one has still yet discovered the code word. If you know the code word, email it to me. Or if you've got anything else you want to say, you can email it to me or you can contact me. Right now, I'm hanging out in the Anon Radio Room of Calm on SDF, as usual, so you can just yell and scream at me there if you're so inclined. In cat news, my cat ran out of food, so we had to, we meaning my girlfriend and I, not me and the cat, ran out to Petco to buy another giant bag of cat food, which costs $30 and lasts 10 weeks. How do I know this? I date the cat food bags. Why do I do this? I don't know. This is a habit I picked up from my friend Doug, who one time when he was changing batteries in some electronic device, I caught him writing the date on the batteries, the date he installed the batteries in the device. And I thought, oh, you know, I've wondered about a few things myself. I should do that too. So these days, I find myself writing the date on every light bulb, every time I install a new light bulb. I write the date on boxes of garbage bags so I know how long these bags, boxes of garbage bags last me. I've recently taken to writing the date on cat food. And what else? I usually don't write the date I install batteries, but for some reason I've been doing it with light bulbs. And I'm not even sure why. Oh, mostly because I use those CF light bulbs. I use compact fluorescent bulbs. And so I'm curious if I'm getting the lifespan that they claim. Of course I'm not, because those lifespans that they claim are under perfect conditions, meaning light bulbs, base down, no lampshade, plenty of air, and other conditions that are unrealistic for houses. But I get a good year or two out of, at least out of the bulbs I have, and I get some longer usage out of those that are in better conditions, like the ones in the basement. But that's neither here nor there. This is not the light bulb show. Let's see. In gaming news, I have managed to make absolutely no progress on any of the games that I'm working on, with the possible exception of one, which I have been thinking about a little bit more often, but I still haven't actually committed anything to paper or file. But I did buy a game last night. I was in a Target of all places, and I happened to walk by the game aisle, and a cursory glance led me to find a game called Exploding Kittens. And the tagline was, "For people who like explosions and kittens." And I thought, huh, I like explosions and I like kittens. This must be for me. So I spent $20 and bought it. It's your typical stop card type of card game, with lots of wacky stuff. And there are two versions. There's a clean version and a not safe for work version, so to speak. I got the not safe for work version, obviously, and I find it mostly humorous. I haven't actually played the game yet, but I've played it in my mind. I've read the instructions a number of times and I've gone through the cards. It's funny, if you like stop card type of games, like Banana Payphone or any of that type of stuff, I would recommend this one. It's clever, the art is pretty good, and it's about cats and blowing stuff up. So if you like either of those things and card games, this might be for you. Oh, and I also did a little bit of research. I was reading up on practical rates of fire for the Drayson needle gun. Yeah, I'm working on some Prussian stuff. And when you have to do historical accuracy, things get less fun. More of a pain in the butt. I don't get to play this game, I just get to do research about it. And although historians will tell you that the rate of fire for this particular type of rifle, you know, this is the first breech-loading rifle, they'll tell you that, oh yeah, the rate of fire was 10 times that of a muzzle-loading rifle or musket. And well, yeah, maybe, when you're not under fire, you know, not battlefield conditions. My research has taught me that the only real advantage that a breech-loading gun gives you is that you don't have to stand up to load it. And so you can remain in cover and not get shot. It's a personal safety issue, although I did find out that the practical rate of fire is about twice that of a muzzle loader, so still quite the advantage. And we'll work that out in combat table results another time. In entertainment news, I watched some more tractor pulling on TV. I still don't understand how that magic thing works that they pull. You know, it's got that box on it that moves forward that somehow... Is it shifting weight? Is it a leverage issue? I need to look some of this stuff up on the computer and figure out how this thing works, because I'm still fascinated by this tractor pulling business. If you've never seen this, I highly recommend at least watching 10 minutes of it. And if you don't get it, just take a look at the tractors and think about, oh yeah, that's not exactly the same kind of tractor they would use to plow a field, now is it? No, yeah, those usually only have one motor. On these super unlimited modification tractors, they have four engines. That's right, they got four huge-ass motors mounted on the front of these things, and that's all it is, just bare motors. And then there's some guy sitting behind them in a little cockpit. Brah! They're louder than hell. A very interesting way to race. How far can you pull this very heavy thing that apparently gets heavier? You know, we might just have to look some of this up on the computer right now. Let's switch desktops here and open up a new window and do a little search here for tractor pulling. And we'll see how that turns out. Now, I don't know much about tractors or why anybody would do any of this stuff, but it seems to me that it might be more entertaining if you had these tractors do like a tug of war. You put them back to back and you hook them up with a battleship chain or something else that you know they're not going to break, and just let them go at it until somebody breaks their motor or does whatever. I imagine that would be expensive, but it sure would be entertaining for me. As I pull up the old Wikipedia page on tractor pulling, it turns out it's also popular in Australia. That doesn't really surprise me, because I know that they have a car culture very similar to ours being Americans, and that culture being, you know, we're nuts for cars. So, you know, I'm not shocked or surprised that Australians are into this. And as I scroll down this page and look at the little sidebar photographs, there's a couple here, and of course, one of them is from Nebraska. There's a photo of a light modified 5,700-pound class tractor, Weeping Water, Nebraska. That's right, there is a town in Nebraska called Weeping Water. We have a lot of great town names in Nebraska. If you ever watch David Letterman, you're perfectly familiar with the town of Wahoo! Wahoo, Nebraska. Yeah, I can be there in about 20 minutes. It's a little bit outside of Omaha, and they are known mostly for their hot dogs, called Wahoo Weenies. But if Wahoo and Weeping Water don't do it for you, maybe you'd like to visit Beaver Crossing, Nebraska. That's right, there's a Beaver Crossing, Nebraska. It's probably going to take them a while. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Dubious Goals Committee. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of the committee, and I'm also the president. The good news is we're about halfway through today's agenda. Yay! Not many more topics to get through here. So, if you're just now joining us, remember that you can always catch the first half of the agenda in the archive. But right now, I need to go get some more tea. So, you listen to this, and when we come back, I'll tell you something else I've been thinking about lately.
And inside you have something very beautiful, very sweet, white, very clean. I think it's the most clean thing that you can ever imagine.
Aging of John Terry, example 2, Star Trek, the deadly years, Roger Courtois would have saved that!
What are you doing from the left, dear? One serves from the left.
Whatever's gotten into you, Calpurnia?
My mistake, ma'am.
Well, I should say it is, Calpurnia. Mother, your maid is... Oh, hello.
Evening. Sorry to disturb your,
elegant dinner party for the most elegant people in all of New York.
I hate you all so much.
No one cares, Figgis. You're only invited to round out the numbers.
Welcome back to the daily meeting of the Dubious Goals Committee, right here on Anon Radio. My name is Tobe, I am your chairman, and I am sitting here reading all about tractor pulling on Wikipedia. I find it fascinating, and I'm learning all about superchargers and turbochargers and that magic sled that they pull and all the fun stuff that these tractor nuts do. I'm going to have to go to one of these events, and being as I live in the breadbasket of America, meaning if you've ever wondered where your food comes from, it comes from here. You're welcome. And since all the food comes from here, that means we have all the agricultural implements required to produce such food, which also then in turn produces the kind of people who like to build tractors that are competitive. So, later on, I won't do it during the show, but later today I'm going to do a search of the World Wide Web and find out when the next tractor pull is in proximity to me. I'd be willing to travel up to 60, maybe even 120 miles just to see one of these events. And the only reason I want to go is just so I can talk to some of these guys who do this, who drive these monster tractors, and pick their brains and just, you know, see what's up and what's going on. I don't want to drive any of these tractors. They scare me. It seems to me like they'd be very easy to flip over backwards when you have that much power and not enough weight in the front. I bet I could flip one over real quick. Although I wouldn't mind riding on the sled during one of the pulls. That might be fun, especially if I can sit in that moving box that moves forward. So if you're ever watching TV and you happen to catch a tractor pull and there's some idiot sitting in a lawn chair in one of the moving boxes on the pulling sled, that will in fact be me. You can point to the television and say, "Oh my God, I know that idiot." And while I've got the old web browser open here today, I think I'll check my email. And no web mail today. No mail at all today. I didn't get any web mail, I didn't get any text mail, and I didn't get any snail mail. That's kind of unusual, but not totally unheard of. About 2 or 3 times a month I have a no mail day. And I find myself with spare time. Gee, I don't have to deal with mail. What am I going to do today? Oh, maybe I will work on my radio show. So, no mail. Sometimes that's good news. For some reason, thinking about mail reminded me of something I saw last night. Well, actually, the reason it reminded me of it is because I saw something in the mail yesterday about duck stamps, and for hunters, you know, hunters have to get duck stamps to put on their licenses or whatever. And thinking of duck stamps made me think of ducks and hunting ducks and gun dogs, and that reminds me of what I saw in the pet store last night. As you'll remember from earlier in the show, I mentioned that I went to buy cat food for my cat last night. While I was there, I just happened to walk down the little toy aisle, and along with all of the regular stuff you always see, I found these ducks, and they're like stuffed animal ducks, except they weren't they weren't like stuffed ducks that are alive, or they're stuffed dead ducks, and these stuffed dead ducks are, you know, fun toys for a gun dog. You know, you train a gun dog to go get the duck you just shot, right? And I've seen trainers for this. They're actually training ducks you can get. They're like a duck decoy, but the head is tied on with a piece of rope, and so the head is loose and it flops around, and so it flops around like a dead duck. And anyway, apparently you're supposed to throw this out and teach your dog to fetch with this fake dead duck. Well, at the pet store, they had a plush version of this. You wouldn't actually want to train a gun dog with one of these things because they would probably tear it up. But once you have them trained and they understand, you know, don't eat the dead duck, you can have this thing, this plush dead duck, in your house. And you can throw this around in your house for the dog to retrieve for you, as opposed to a trainer decoy, which you wouldn't want to throw around in your house because it's hard and it's solid and you will throw it and break something in your house. I mean, you could if you're inclined to do things like that if you really wanted to, but all of this is beside the point. The only reason I bring up the dead plush duck is that I wonder if I should get it for my cat. You know, my cat eats duck. That cat food I bought is all duck. It's duck and green peas and pumpkin and blueberries, and it's all super healthy kitty food for my super healthy fluffy baby. So fluffy! And being as she loves ducks, she likes to eat them. And whenever I find a photograph of a duck in a magazine, I subscribe to some nature magazines, and whenever there's pictures of ducks, and there always are, I'll often cut out these pictures of ducks and I'll tape them up on the wall down low by her food and water bowls so she can look at pictures of ducks while she's eating duck and say, yummy, I'm going to eat that sucker next. So I'm thinking if I should get this plush dead duck as a cat toy, and I can just throw it around in the house and tell Pippa to go get it. Go get the duck. Does she need a duck? Yeah, she probably does. It was kind of expensive. It was about $20. Considering you can buy a dead duck for much less than that, a real dead duck. Maybe I should just get her some duck corpses. Here, play with this. Yeah, that'll be real nice and salmonella-y around my house. Yes, probably a health hazard. Speaking of health hazards, I noticed I'm running out of time. I'm looking at the clock, And the minute hand is ever so slowly inching closer and closer to 20 o'clock. And that means it's time for me to go. My name is Tobe. I am the president and chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, the daily meeting of which you have been listening to today right here on Anon Radio. Today is Barnacle Day. I'm looking at a calendar, and so, boy, if you stay tuned, you might hear the sound show with DJ Barnacle coming up next, if he can remember, or if he can be bothered to be on the radio today. I guess we're going to find out. So, let's stay tuned and see if Barnacle shows up. Otherwise, I'll see you tomorrow at 19:30 UTC. Bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.
You gonna be a radio kitty?